before we get going. Dear Lord, we thank you so very much for this time that we can have here to gather and read and learn from your word. Lord, I thank you for the freedom that you've given to us, that we have the ability to do so without fear of retribution. Lord, I just thank you for giving us the word of God that we can read and learn from you about. Lord, I just pray that you have open hearts and minds to get what you have for us. And Lord, we ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. I actually want to look at Acts, and we are going to look at three different people and kind of compare slash contrast in some ways how God ended up dealing with them, and some of it based upon what their life and intentions were. Let's start in Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, and let's start in verse 26. It says, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near, and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this, He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself, or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. So this is the story of the Ethiopian eunuch who ultimately ends up trusting Christ. As verse 37 is a perfect statement of faith from an individual. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. There's your foundation right there. And now this eunuch, he was a high up official in the governing body of Ethiopia under Queen Candace. And he'd been coming to Jerusalem for to worship because he had adopted the Jewish religion. Now, this eunuch, at this time, what he was doing was what he thought the best way to worship God. With the information that he had and the knowledge that he had turned his heart toward God, and he found what he believed to be the best way to worship God. And that was in adopting the Jewish religion, because that was the way God was working. He was working through the Jews' religion. So he adopted the Jewish religion, became a prophet. proselyte of that, and he was coming up to Jerusalem to worship because that's what the Jewish religion required. Things are in the ceiling. But anyway, so this Ethiopian was fulfilling this because that is what, in his mind, God wanted him to do, and he had a heart to follow God. So he was doing that. Now, ultimately, God said, all right, you know what, Philip, I want you to go and talk to this guy because this guy has a heart to search after me. When Philip gets to him, he's reading the scriptures. He's reading the book of Isaiah. And, I mean, I'm sure there's some places in the book that he read that, okay, this makes sense. I understand that. But this one that he was reading happened to be one he's like, all right, I don't understand what he's talking about here. He knew he wasn't talking about a four-legged lamb. He knew he was talking about a person, but he couldn't figure it out. So he's like, all right, I need somebody to help me. Philip then goes on to preach Jesus Christ to him. And ultimately, he realizes, okay, so the information that I had, being under the Jewish religion, although it is what I thought was right, this is what I needed. That Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And that's what I need to believe and trust in. Now, we'll come back to him, but let's go to Acts chapter 10. We won't read all of chapter 10. Let's read a few verses of this, but Acts chapter 10, verse 1, it says, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God alway. Now, Cornelius here, it does not say he was following the Jewish religion. For him, he says, this guy is a devout man. He fears God. He leads his house to fear God. He's giving alms to people, and he's praying to God. Again, this is a person who is following God in the way that they know best to do so. He's got a heart to follow after God. He wants to know the truth. He is praying to God. Is there still water in there? Apparently. She's gonna blow. Everybody get ready to duck. Thought it was the ceiling, but anyway, so hopefully we don't have a baptistry blow up on us. Verse 3, it says, he saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa, and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants, and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. This centurion, this leader of the Italian band, he lived his life in such a way that, again, even though he didn't have all the information that at this point he needed, he was attempting to follow and serve God the best way he knew. And God looks at this and says, all right, you know what? He sends an angel to him and says, you, I've heard your prayers. I've seen the alms that you've given. I see the way your heart is trying to follow after me. I want you to send some men and go talk to Simon. Simon Peter. He will tell you the things that you need to know and what thou oughtest to do. Ultimately, he does this, calls for Peter. God ends up, and God has to lay this all out to Peter and show him, hey, okay, look, I know, this is not a Jew, but I'm sending you to him anyway. I am sending you. You need to talk to him. Ultimately, he comes to Cornelius' house. Cornelius lays out to Peter what God told him through the angel. And in verse 34, Peter then tells him, Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea, and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. Now God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him should receive remission of sins. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. Now he goes through all of this. He's explaining Jesus and what he has done, his death, his burial, his resurrection. And verse 43, it says, to him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remissions of sins. And that's when God interrupts Peter, because Cornelius and a bunch, if not all of his household, they heard all of that. They heard this verse here, that whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. They believed that. They immediately got their remission of sins and got the Holy Ghost. And ultimately, if you look at, let's continue on, verse 45. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. So Cornelius here is another example of a man who was taking what he knew and applying it to his life to search out what God had for him the best way he knew. And he was praying, he was serving God. It says he was a devout man. And God saw what Cornelius was doing. God saw his heart, says, all right, I am going to get him the truth. Because he has a heart to seek after me. He's going to accept the truth when he hears it. So I'm going to get that truth to him. This is similar to the Ethiopian eunuch. They're both not necessarily following God in the way that technically they should at this point. Because now we're past the resurrection. This is how we accept Jesus Christ. But they didn't know that. They really, at this point, had no way of knowing that. This hadn't been dispersed among people yet. I mean, even the apostles at this point, they don't know what's going on for sure yet. They don't really get it hammered out until Acts 15. But God is looking at these people, the Ethiopian eunuch, this centurion, and say, all right, these people are searching me out. They're serving me in the way that they know. I am going to get the truth to them. Because I know that when they get the truth, they're going to see, hey, this is what I need. And ultimately, both the Ethiopian eunuch and Cornelius, who said, okay, yeah, this is what I've been missing. They didn't really even necessarily know that they were missing something. They were just taking what they had and serving God. Now, if you look back at Acts chapter 9, verse 1, we now have somebody else here in the middle of these two. Verse 1, it says, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, being following Christ, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. Paul is what seems like the exact opposite of the Ethiopian eunuch and Cornelius at first glance. Paul is actively going out and persecuting the followers of Christ. He is killing them. He is imprisoning them. Just a couple chapters before, he was consenting to the death of Stephen. Men were throwing their coats down at his feet. He was standing there watching him. And Saul is wreaking havoc on the church of God. He's attempting to destroy the followers of Christ. But what God sees is a man who is overly zealously attempting to serve his God. That's what God is seeing of Saul here. And he's like, Saul, with the information that he has and the knowledge that he's been given, is saying, I am going to serve God the best I can. And to him, that is, hey, these people are flying in the face of the law of God. And according to said law of God, they need to be punished or killed. And that's what he saw, that's what he knew. Verse 3, it says, and as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Now, at this point here, Saul is like the epitome of zealousness. He is going full tilt to fulfill the will of God. At least what he thinks is the will of God. And God sees this and says, okay, I realize what you're doing. It's not like it's a surprise to God. He says, this guy is persecuting my people. people who have accepted Christ as their Savior. And but he's doing so because his heart is to serve me. And God says, I'm going to get him the truth. I want to show him, hey, what you're doing, although you're doing it with a heart to serve God, is not right. He tells him and says, why persecutest thou me? And when Saul hears this from God, he's like, wait a second. Wait a second. If I'm persecuting you, who are you? Because the God I serve, this isn't persecuting him. This is fulfilling his will. This is fulfilling his word. How am I persecuting you? So he's like, Lord, who art thou? I mean, it's a voice from heaven. So he's like, all right, it's got to be God, but God, who art thou? And then God drops the bombshell on Saul's life. Says, I am Jesus. And when Saul gets that thrown at him, that destroys his life. Because he's been serving God. At least that's what he's basing it off of. That's what his heart is to do, is to serve God and fulfill God's will. And now God is talking to him, and he now says, I am Jesus. Wait, you're who? No. You can't be. You can't be. But God says, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And when he tells him, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks, it implies that Saul realizes that something's not right, but he doesn't know what. And then it's kind of eating at him. And then he gets this, and it's like, great. At that point, verse 6 says, and he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? I've been living my life for the last however many years trying to serve you and being overly zealous to take care of these people who are against you. And now, that's just blown up in my face. What do I do, Lord? And Paul, at this point he's Saul, but Saul, even though he grew up learning under Gamaliel, one of the most well-respected Pharisees of his time, and Paul had all the learning you could hope for in the Jewish religion. Paul knew the law. He was, at this point, a well-learned person and a zealous person. He melded those two, said, all right, this is what I know of the law. This is what I know God wants. Based off the law, I am going to fulfill this. And now, all of this that he has grown up learning, all of this that he, over the last few years, has put into practice, is now crashing down when God says, I am Jesus. And he's like, okay, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? What do I do now? How do I go on from this? God eventually after striking him blind for 3 days and three nights, sends Ananias to help him, to heal him, let him receive his sight. And Paul eventually goes on to be what's commonly known as the greatest Christian who ever lived, who started as someone who was literally imprisoning and killing people who are following Christ. And that about face, that 180 of his life, shows that even though he was doing all of this, his heart was following after God. His heart was to serve God. And God saw that. God said, I'm getting him the truth. So each of these three men here in these three chapters, this Ethiopian, the Ethiopian eunuch, Saul, and Cornelius, even though Cornelius and the Ethiopian eunuch seem to be very different from Saul, all three of them are striving to serve God in the way that they know, in the truth that they have, the knowledge that they have been given. And God says, all right, I see that. I see that you are following me with the knowledge that you have. I'm going to give you the knowledge that you need. I'm going to open my world to you. Say, all right, here's what you have. Here is now what you need. And because they had that heart for God, because they were trying to serve God and follow after God, they saw the truth and said, okay, that's what I need. That's what I need to fully follow God. That's the truth that I need to align myself with to serve him. Now, again, Saul was the extreme end of this, but essentially doing the same thing as the Ethiopian eunuch and Cornelius, serving God in the way that he knew. Now, when we come to God, if we can come with a heart that says, God, I want to do what you want me to do. I want to follow your word in the way that you would have me to do so. If we'll seek him in sincerity and truth, we don't have all the answers. We don't know everything that we're supposed to know. We're never going to. Even after we get to heaven, we'll still be learning for eternity. But when we have that, and God sees, all right, I see that your heart is to follow after me and to find the truth. When God sees that, he says, all right, I see where you're at. I'm going to give you this truth, because this truth is what you need to follow me better, to serve me in the right way. You're on the right track. You're trying to serve me with the knowledge that you have, but I want you over here. And if Saul was just going around killing Christians because he didn't think they agreed with him, so we're just going to take them out, and that was his mindset, and that's what he was going after them for, would God have come down and said, hey, Saul, no, here's the truth? I think probably not. It's because Saul, even though he was doing this, was doing so with a heart searching after God, with a heart to do God's will. God says, all right, no, here's where you need to be. And if we come to the Bible not with a heart trying to find the word of God and to get the truth from God, the likelihood of God giving us more truth is kind of slim. But when God sees that, hey, this person has a heart to find out the truth and to know what God, what I want them to know, he says, all right, here's the truth you need. Here's what you need to be able to follow me better, to serve me better. And as we go through our life, we need to have a heart that says, God, I want to know you better. I want to serve you the best way possible. These are the things that I know, the things that I know I'm going to try to serve you with. Please, if there's something that needs to be changed, shifted, if I need to completely reverse on something, please show me, please let me know. And I will do that. But if we don't have the heart to say, God, I want whatever it is you want me to have, God's probably not going to give us that added truth. God, he's probably not going to open that up to us. Just like these three men here, they were all serving God in the way that they knew, in the truth that they had. And God says, all right, I see that your heart is toward me. Here's the truth you need. And if you think about the impact historically from these three, at least the two, the Ethiopian eunuch then taking Christianity back to Ethiopia. Ethiopia has, for generations, had a Christian heritage dating all the way back to this Ethiopian eunuch who trusted Christ as his savior. And Saul, who ultimately becomes Paul and carries the gospel throughout the known world. And I don't really know anything on Cornelius, but he, at the very least, influenced his entire household. Because even before he had accepted Christ, his whole entire household was following him because they knew, hey, Cornelius has a heart for God. We see that. We're going to follow what he's doing because he's a devout man. He is searching after God. And then once Peter came to explain the gospel of Christ to him and his household, they all accepted that. If we have a heart for God, if we have a heart to see what God has for us, to find out the truth, God is able to see that and say, all right, here's some added truth. Here's some more beyond what you already have to help enhance that faith in me for you. Ultimately, he may end up using you far more than you ever think because you are willing to say, God, I want to know what you want me to know. And when we do that, God can take what we have and say, all right, here's what you have. Here's what I need you to have. And if you'll accept that, you'll then be on the path that I want you to be taking. So try to keep open heart to what God has for us. Try to serve God with what we have. We have a lot. But again, there's always stuff we don't know. There's always stuff that we're going to be wrong on. But if we are sincerely and actively seeking the truth, God will point us in that right direction. So, all right, I see where you're at. I see what you're trying to do. I see that you're trying to follow me in the best way that you can with the knowledge that you have. Here's the knowledge that you need to draw closer to me. So, all right, that's all I had. Any questions or comments?